بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فوالله لأن يهدي الله بك رجلا واحدا خير لك من حمر النعم وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Alhamdulillah, all praises be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are seated here with that concern for deen. We are living in times of trial, temptation. And then the concern is, what's the solution? We need to remind ourselves that Allah loves us and Allah will protect us. If we look into Surah Kahf, understand the love of Allah. Allah Ta'ala provides for us divine solutions. The surah itself, Surah Kahf, Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned more or less that the person who recites Surah Kahf on the day of Jum'ah, on the day of, then will be protected for 8 days from all fitna, from all temptations and trials. Protection, there is it in Surah Kahf. But with conviction, we recite this surah with conviction. Oh Allah, every Friday I'm reciting Surah Kahf. Oh Allah, you protect me. Protect me. Whatever trial and temptation may be, but oh Allah, you protect me. And then if you look at the incident of the sleepers of the cave, many details at times is not so authentic. Now the question is, as a layman, what do we do? How do we know what is authentic, what is not authentic? Now it's simple. The simple prescription is, we refer to the experts in the field. Experts in the field. Because what's happening today is we speak of explosion when it comes to information. And then a person is just reading anything, and he's just listening to anyone. And then he's looking for a solution, but not realizing now he's in confusion and bigger complication. So it's simple. I need to be referring to someone before I read anything. Before I listen to anything. I need to find out, is this authentic, reliable? Otherwise, more than finding a solution, the man is gone into confusion altogether. Now this whole incident, this youth that went into the cave, the people were in idol worship. And then there was a festival. And Allah Ta'ala had placed in the hearts of this youth the light of guidance. Now they could see the foolishness of idol worship that their people were involved in. And one by one now these youth, they left the festival. They left that wrong environment. Really, this is a solution when you speak of solutions. That is just not sufficient that inwardly we know it's wrong. These youths, inwardly, the iman was there. The belief in one Allah. But they didn't suffice on just the inside that we know and we believe. But they did something physical. They left that wrong environment of idol worship. Now sometimes there's a family function, and we know very well there'll be a mixed gathering there, there'll be music or photography. Now it's not sufficient that we say, no, I know it's wrong, and I respect that it's wrong. Within my heart, I keep it firm that it's wrong. That's not sufficient. Reality is physically we absent ourselves, because our presence there is actually endorsing that whole gathering, But my absence now will give a message indirectly. There's something wrong here. So it's just not staying away from the wrong internally, but physically as well. So this youth left the wrong environment. And Allah's system, they now were directed and guided. They assembled in one area, one place. And really when there's concern from within, Allah Ta'ala will guide us. And understand, one candle is one light. And when you speak of seven candles, becomes seven bright. A person on his own, at times he feels he's going down. But now when he comes in the good company, now there's support. There's that motivation, that strength. We leave the wrong, there's a vacuum. There's an empty space. And it's important we fill it fast enough with some goodness, that good company. Otherwise, a person just left the wrong and he didn't replace it with good. The danger is after a while he may just very well slip back into that wrong. So this youth now came into the cave and they made the dua. Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma wa hayyi' lana min amrina rashada. Giving us a lesson. The lesson that is just not physically doing something. That physically they came out of the wrong. It's just not a physical means that man adopts. Together with physical, there has to be something to complement it in terms of spiritual. Now dua, connecting to Allah. What happens today is, I adopted all the material means, physical, outward. And then, what was missing was the inward, that spiritual connection with Allah. The dua was missing, salah was missing, Quran was missing, zikrullah was missing. And then when the physical means fail, and it falls, and next thing I collapse into despondency, depression, that connection with Allah was missing. The man who connects himself to Allah, then the whole world can collapse around him. But inshallah, with the command of Allah, this man will remain firm, he'll remain focused. So it's just not physical, the material means we adopt, but with that, the spiritual aspect, that we connect ourselves to Allah. Then you find these youth, the hunting dog that accompanied them. With the command of Allah, that dog remained outside the cave, at the entrance. It didn't come inside where the youth was sleeping. We learn from the Hadith Sharif of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the angels don't enter the home wherein there's a dog, wherein there's pictures. So Allah Ta'ala's divine arrangement for these youths, it mustn't be that the dog is inside with them and then they are deprived of the mercies and the blessings that come along with the angels. Now we are in desperate times. We desperately need the mercy of Allah. It shouldn't be that we are doing such actions at times that deprive us of the mercy of Allah. And unfortunately today, it has become the pic videoing, photography, and then selfie. Selfish selfie. The man now, he has fallen into self-admiration. He became so self-centered. Self-love. You see, the Muslim who has love for Allah and love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he won't fall in love with himself. He won't be a selfie. He won't be selfish. We need the mercy of Allah. So you don't do those actions that deprive us of the mercy of Allah. And then this youth now, 300 years asleep, they woke up. There was a need for food. So one of them was sent now to purchase the food. And that person who was sent to buy the food, he was now, you know, urged, make sure it's halal, lawful. Understand, this is a solution. Because I planted potatoes, tomatoes can't grow. What goes inside comes outside. If haram and doubtful is going into our system, it's very difficult for halal and fruitful to come out. And reality, the man now who's consuming haram, in reality he's destroyed himself from within. We are speaking with the outside, the fitna, the trials and temptation. How do we protect ourselves? Leave the outside for a while. We have already destroyed ourselves from within. And the outside just further completes the destruction. So eating the lawful, what we are eating, we are doing the after. What are we feeding our children? One is we'll complain what they are doing, etc. But what are we feeding them? And then if you look at this entire incident, in the Qur'an-i Majid, there's no mention regarding the color of the dog or the location of the cave. There's a lesson given to us. Things of no benefit, we don't go into its discussion. When you speak of futility, you know, futile activity, that a man today is always on the screen, but ask ourselves, what benefit did we get? Or the man is following sport. Now, this is a sensitive button at times. But the question is, we went through all the scores, the matches. Did it increase my bank balance? Did it increase my year after investment? A Muslim is intelligent. His time, he invested. Invested in Quran, Zikrullah, Dua. The effort of deen, investment, not in futility, not in useless activity. Now when you speak of iman versus materialism, in this incident of the sleepers of the cave, these youth were from royal families. They now left the royal life. They went into a cave. There was no material means. When this happens, now comes the divine arrangement and system of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only protected them, but Allah ta'ala honored them to such an extent that till the last day, the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be reciting Surah Kahf, the incident of the sleepers of the cave. So when there's a conflict in our lives, one side is iman and the other side is the material world. The intelligence of a Muslim will drive him. That he'll go in the line of iman, deen, Islam. And then, eternally he is successful. Otherwise the man who took the temporary pleasure of the material world, how long will the man live? Now there's two words. One is called text. And the other is called context. To understand these two words, imagine the father is standing by the car. His sleeves are rolled up. And then he calls out to his son, water. So the son understands, father is standing by the car. He needs to wash it. So the son brings a bucket of water. Later on that evening, father is lying down in his bedroom. And he calls out to his son, water. So son understands, father is in the bedroom, he's thirsty. So the son brings a glass of water. Outwardly the text was one. Water, water. But because the son knew the context, car, bedroom, so he understood, bucket, glass. But the man who just hears the text, without knowing the context, he may end up taking one glass for the father to wash the poor car, or a bucket for the poor father to try and drink it down. Unfortunately, this is exactly what's happening today. A Muslim today, he'll take one English translation of the Quran-i Majid, English translation of Sahih Bukhari. He is reading the text, that too the English translation. And he doesn't know the context. He doesn't know why the verse was revealed. He does not know why did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention those blessed words. So he's reading the text out of context. And now he misunderstands, misinterprets. And then when the Mawlana from the front is giving the original, the real, which came to us from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the correct understanding, That man is sitting down in the crowd and is rejecting, objecting. What is this Molana speaking? Who asked us in the first place to read the text out of context and then make our own Islam and then feel that we are right? Now just to end off, if is the last thing any Muslim father will ever want, that his child comes up to him and he says, Father, I don't believe in a creator. I'm an atheist. Now, unfortunately, this is a reality today. And we ask ourselves how it happens at times. The Muslim parent took the child and placed the child in a private Christian school. The first thing the school did was strip the child of all garbs of modesty. Now my son is wearing one short pants to school. My daughter is wearing one short skirt without any pants. So the whole identity of modesty was ripped and stripped down. And then they got our children so busy in the afternoon, swimming, sporting, extracurricular activity, that now the child can't make it to a normal maktab. When I say normal maktab, unfortunately an average Muslim today, just to appease the guilty conscience, he'll send the child once a week, 1 hour madrasa. Ask ourselves, where's the justice? We drown the child 35 hours in secular for the week, and then we try to appease ourselves with 1 hour of Quran. What justice can that be? So now the child got no belief structure within that heart. So do we know what fills in? It's called science. And they say natural. Cause and effect. Evaporation, condensation, rainfall came down. And then the child in the mind says, you know what? We don't need a creator. And then, you see, as a Muslim, the last straw sometimes is masjid on the Jummah day. The man can be the biggest sinner, but he knows, no, Friday I need to be clean. I have to make it for Jummah Salah. And these private institutes at time, that last straw is broken. Our sons are not allowed to come for the Jummah Salah. Now the thing is, the way forward is simple. Number one, we remind our children and ourselves, when it comes to clothing, it is concealing and covering. It's not revealing and opening. And then number two, we make sure our child is attending a normal 5-day-week maktab. To protect the child's iman of tomorrow, we are seated here today with iman. Because our parents had iman at heart. They made sure that the foundation of iman is deep in our hearts. And then number three, as a father, if I failed to link my son to the masjid, then in reality I have failed as a father. I failed as a father. And then in the home, the ta'lim. Ask ourselves, when at last in our homes, we spoke about Allah. We spoke about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That fazail amal, fazail sadaqat. Bring in ta'lim in the home. And then every home to be under the guidance of and a pious alim of deen, under mashwara. To understand this concept, father is driving, he wants to go to Durban. The wife on the passenger seat wants to go to Joburg. And the children in the back seat, they want to go to Cape Town. But father is driving, so he's going now, Durban. Wife starts nagging. It reaches now boiling point. Husband says, okay, Joburg. So he moves towards Joburg. Children start crying in the back seat. Father says, okay, reach that point now. So, okay, Cape Town. As they're moving, night comes in. Everyone is asleep. Father says, okay, back to Durban. Midnight, wife wakes up. And she's nagging. I told you, Joburg. Okay, Joburg. By the morning, the children are up. And they are crying for Cape Town. Father says, right, Cape Town. That car will move in circles, reaching no destination, because they got no real direction. That's exactly what happens in a home today. Father got one mindset, wife another mindset, children, we don't know what we can call it, but which direction they are going. And when there's no mashwara, there's no consultation under a pious elder, now there's no destination we are reaching because there's no direction. But if you're all under one pious elder, now that car, that family is going to move in a direction, we're going to reach somewhere. Now there'll be a nikah now. Before the nikah, when you speak of protection of a marriage, you know, one beautiful way of protecting that marriage is protecting the eyes. And to understand this concept, the wife sent the husband in the morning to work and she gave him 2 slices of lunch. Now this greedy husband, he gobbled 2 slices by the first break. And the whole day now he's buying the tikka and the shawarma and the sausage rolls, the takeaways. He comes home at night. The wife could have prepared the most delicious meal, but the husband is full. To make her happy, he'll taste here and there, but the husband that just ate the 2 slices, he comes home at night, he is nice and hungry. Even if the wife put tin fish in front, he'll relish it, because he's hungry. As the same example, now the man went out in the morning to work. If he's not looking after his eyes, he's looking at anything and everything on the streets and on the screen. He can come home at night. He can have the most beautiful wife. He won't appreciate her because his eyes have seen something else. He got full somewhere else. But the one that looks after the eyes, the husband and the wife, both looking after their eyes. Now there's a different type of love maintained in that marriage. And then also, one husband comes up to me, he tells me, "Maulana, I can't handle his marriage anymore. Wealthy man. Now, being wealthy man, outside the home, he's like king. Everyone says, 'Yes, boss, and what can we do for you, boss?' He says, 'Maulana, I can't take this marriage anymore.' I said, 'What happened?' He says, that wife of mine, she makes me feel like nothing. You know, when I say absolute nothing, the way she speaks to me and cuts me short. So I told him, 'You're serious?' He said, 'Yeah, I'm serious. And, you know, I want out of the marriage.' I told him, 'Just wait for a while. Look here. You see, you are very fortunate. But see, the rest of us now, we go khanka sometimes and we're trying to reach a very high position. It's called fana'iyat. Nothing. That in the court of Allah, in our eyes, we see ourselves as nothing. So I said, we're trying so hard in the khanka and we're not getting it right. You, mashallah, your wife, one shot, she made you nothing. Appreciate her. And reality, you know, in that marriage, the man, he can find all the faults in the wife. But there's one thing, if we can't find any good, keep this one thing in mind. If that lawful wife of mine was not there, that halal avenue of me satisfying my desire, if she was not there, then we don't know on which street corner or which place we would have sold our respect. The worst of ways. So she's that barrier. She's that protection for me. That barrier between myself and going into zina, into haram and forbidden. That much we appreciate her. Allah Ta'ala give us a correct understanding.